Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
New York City-based visual artist and creative director Jonathan Rosen has made his debut with back-to-back exhibitions on two of the world's biggest art stages in London and in New York City. So we're happy to have him here to tell us all about it and also to introduce us to the world of NFTs, which, to put it in 1920s lingo, are all the rave in the art world right now. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. You know, where are you speaking to us from?
New York City. So if you hear any honking in the background, think of it as just some atmosphere.
So, Jonathan, this is a real pleasure. We will be talking about your big NFT debut via two major exhibitions. One, actually, correct me if I'm wrong, just wrapped up in London. Is that right?
That is correct. So while we were all stuck inside this last year, I wasn't able to have any exhibitions of my physical art. So I started exploring NFTs and I've always worked in sort of digital technologies, but being locked down sort of gave me time to explore it further. And in the beginning of the year, NFTs have started to really take off. So now that we're sort of entering back into the outside world, I wanted to bring my NFT debut, the digital world, out into the physical spaces. And I was lucky enough to get two amazing locations to display my work. The one you mentioned in London was with W1 Curates. They have a 36 state-of-the-art screen facade on the Flannels building on Oxford Street in London. And so that was like the preview show. And now it's currently up in at the NASDAQ building on their 7-foot story digital display in Times Square.
This is your NFT debut, and actually, coincidentally, it's the first time that we get to talk about NFTs on the BFT, on the Big Fred Tuesday. How would you describe NFTs to somebody who is not familiar with them, doesn't know anything about it? I'm very curious to hear from you, especially because you've worked directly with them.
So NFTs, I want to make this simple for you and your audience. Just like in the traditional art world, there, when an important piece of art sells, it usually comes with a certificate of authenticity proving that it's a real Warhol. So it's not, it wasn't forged or copied. In the NFT space, something similar is created. And so basically, all of NFTs use blockchain technology, and blockchain technology is what makes cryptocurrencies secure. Bitcoin is the number one currency, but Ethereum platform, which is number two, created what is called these smart contracts. And the smart contracts are like digital tokens that prove a particular NFT ownership. So while multiple people can distribute a particular piece of digital art, they can share it, they can put it on their TV screens, they don't actually own it unless they have this digital token smart contract. So for example, lots of people can go to the Louvre and take photos of the Mona Lisa, and they can distribute it on their social media. They can print it out on their printers and hang it on the wall, but only the Louvre actually owns the Mona Lisa. And so think of that in the same context of NFTs. You need to have that smart contract to really own the NFT. So they're kind of a pair.
As you mentioned before, you have experimented and made use of interactive digital technologies to explore the various themes that you've explored with within your works in the past. Would you say that you are always generally looking for new ways to express yourself as an artist and, you know, also integrating new media and technologies within your work?
Yeah, my work is about human possibilities and, you know, the human possibilities, the good, the bad, and everything in between. I am really curious and interested in exploring our dreams and desires and the reinvention of ourselves and the manifesting of those things. And so first, my early art career, I started exploring my individual personal dreams. And I wanted a way to bring a larger audience so they can actually explore their dreams and desires. Mm-hmm. So originally I created, last couple of years, what I'm calling Dream Machines. And basically it's a two-way mirror with a display and a computer that flashes thousands of phrase possibilities. And the way a person experiences this piece is they usually stand in front of it and take a photo. And in that moment, a phrase is paired with their face in their phone. So when they look at the image, it sort of like becomes like this magic eight ball tarot card effect. And that within that randomness of the phrase flashing, that single phrase that they get, they can make sort of meaning out of it. It's sort of like a tool to unlock the subconscious. So my NFTs are inspired by that previous mirror work, where I continue to collect thousands of different possibilities, human possibilities, that people can sort of experience.
And so they, correct me if I'm wrong, there are four NFT pieces overall, right? The ones that you have presented, they're called I Want, Big, Drop, and Famous, right?
Yes. Usually each piece, whether it's my Dream Machine mirrors or the NFTs, has a like what I'm calling like an anchor phrase that describes or sort of lands a particular collection of possibilities. I Want is my what I'm most known for. It's sort of confessional, and it's also like dream manifestation. It's like putting your desires out there. Like if I never spoke, if I never said out loud I wanted to be an artist, we would not be having this conversation right now. So it's about getting your dreams out there in the world so they can actually exist. And then this particular show, because it's so public, it's, you know, being on in Times Square and on Oxford Street, I'm really exploring this, this notion of fame and being seen. 35 years ago, Warhol predicted that everyone is going to have 15 minutes of fame. And his prediction has come true. You know, thanks to social media and technology, you could be famous for anything. And so my famous piece really leans into that. And another component of this NFT drop is the auction winners will be able to get their face on the NASDAQ tower after the auction.
How does that work?
So on Wednesday, June, I think it's the 16th, the auction ends, and whoever wins the, it's actually five NFTs, and we're doing a mint for single phrase NFTs. So, and I will go into that in a little bit. Those six people will get their faces projected on the tower so that they can get their 15 seconds of fame.
It kind of reminded me of Judy Holliday in that classic George Cukor movie. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called It Should Happen to You, where she essentially takes out a whole billboard advertising and blows up a photo of herself to get her name out there. The film was actually made in the 50s, but it does return to those themes of fame that you illustrate with your work, right?
Totally, and it's really interesting, for better or for worse. Recent study, the most, so obviously we're talking about young people here, but right. Their profession of choice, or what do they want to be when they grow up, it's by a huge amount. It's not a doctor, a lawyer, or an astronaut. It's to be famous.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's totally because of social media. Okay. I think social media has been really good on society, and I think bad for society at the same time. And I think every time we get a like on our post, you know, our dopamine goes up. And I think we're addicted to that need to be seen. I'm no better. You know, as an artist, I need to be seen and out there.
Right,
It's just something that, you know, we should be aware of.
And so just going back to this idea of kind of projecting these works on two of the biggest screens in the world, really, what does that do to an artwork? I mean, how does that impact the work itself, in your opinion?
Even before pre-pandemic, we were glued to our devices, our small devices. Uh-huh. And while it's, you know, Instagram has been amazing for finding, discovering art and artists, I think there's something to be said about seeing works big and having a huge presence out there. I think especially for NFTs and digital art, there's something to be said about taking them off our, you know, 5-inch device and really getting the presence of it. I'm really curious to see in the next couple of years if we'll have physical museums dedicated to this medium so they can be seen on a greater scale.
Right. Yeah. And so was it difficult to set something like this up?
Yes, very. If I just wanted to, you know, make NFTs, I could drop it on one of these marketplaces that are out there. But I decided to take the harder road, partly because a component of the NFTs that is really cool that I haven't mentioned before is that within the smart contract, you can build in a lot of very cool things. You can build in like a time-based code where something secret unlocks on a certain date, or the NFT could change visually by season or by night or by day. You could build in rewards where if you collect this NFT and four others, it unlocks a super rare NFT that only you can get. So there's a lot of like play with this medium that I think we're just scratching the surface of. So I was able to partner with a group called Trium, and they had a very successful launch of this generative art project using AI called Euler Beats. And it was very successful recently, I guess from March to May, and they're looking to now launch their own platform, and I'm the first artist that they're working with.
Right.
So they have really been amazing partners and providing the tech and helping me see my vision. And then this is a good segue into the other component of the NFT auction. It's called a chance-based mint. And it's one of the first of its kind. And so imagine my five NFTs. They're like film reels. They have a thousand phrases, 1,000 possibilities. So think of it as 1,000 frames of a film reel. Mm-hmm. Now, my chance-based mint allows collectors, collectors have to commit to minting before they know what they're going to get. So very much like my dream machines, when a person stands in front of the mirror and takes a photo, they don't know what they're going to get on their phones. So now when they enter the chance-based mint, they commit, they purchase the NFT, and then it shuffles and randomly spits out one of the 1,000 frames. Or so it's an interesting film analogy where the auction pieces, which are going to be more higher priced, and then you can get a single frame from it.
By the way, is it true that you've also teamed up with NASDAQ's Purpose Initiative and Broadway Cares for this project?
Yes. So it is. It's Pride Month here in June, I think, in New York in June, and I'm assuming around the world.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to do something, especially for Pride, but also for Broadway that has been closed because of the pandemic. They're reopening, and so the four NFTs you've previously mentioned, there's a fifth one that basically contains all of NASDAQ's listings, all, I think it's 4,000 listings. Uh-huh. And that particular piece will be auctioned off, and all proceeds will go to Broadway Cares.
Jonathan, we're coming to the end of our interview, but what's the best way that people can just keep up with news about your art?
Yes, so you can go to either my website, which is jonathanrosen.com, or you, for this particular NFT drop, you can go to nft.jonathanrosen.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.